Do you have a goal to make a full-time income with photography? In today's episode, I'm sharing 9 brain hacks that I use to go from a side hustle photographer to full-time. A lot of us have the tools and resources and strategies to go full-time, but we just can't seem to get motivated or can't seem to make those strategies work for us and our businesses. If you can relate, get ready to be inspired and leave feeling motivated to take your photography business to the next level with these brain hacks. Welcome to the From Better Half to Boss podcast. I'm Tavia Redburn, and on this show, I share how I retired my husband from his 9-to-5 with my birth photography business, all while homeschooling my 3 kids. If you have a passion, there is a reason. It's because you were made to follow that passion. It's your time to go from better half to boss. Hey y'all, I'm Tavia, and I help photographers learn how to specialize and get fully booked with ideal clients so they can go full-time. And my students learn this through my signature marketing course, Marketing School for Photographers. Hi friends, and welcome to another episode of the From Better Half to Boss podcast. I'm thrilled that you're here, and I know that most of you are probably moms like me, and you have a dream to make a full-time income with photography. And I remember that phase of life like it was yesterday. Like, I remember feeling like there was never enough time in the day, and my to-do list was always growing and growing. Chances are you know a lot of the things that you're supposed to be doing, or you know the things that are actually going to move the needle and grow your business. But just because you know doesn't mean you're actually taking action. If you're lacking the motivation or the time to get it all done, this episode is going to help you. Looking back at my photography business before I went full time, I realized that there are some brain hacks and mindset shifts that I made to help myself not only get more done, but to recognize what's actually worth doing to grow my business and what is kind of a waste of time. So we have a lot to cover today. Let's get into the 9 brain hacks that I used to go full-time with photography. Brain hack number 1 is eat the frog. So eat the frog is kind of gross sounding, but it's a concept that's written in the book, Eat the Frog by Brian Tracy. And for me, eat the frog just means to do the thing that you really don't want to do first. So when I make a list of the tasks that I need to complete in a day, I look at the one that I really don't want to do, and I start there. First of all, I know that I'm the most motivated in the beginning of my workday, so I'm more likely to actually do that hard thing right then more than any other time of the day. And my natural inclination is to put it off and think like, I don't want to do that thing. I'll do it later. Then it never ends up actually getting done. And there's something that happens in your brain when you finish the task that you really didn't want to do at the beginning of the day. And then you're left with the things that you don't mind doing, or maybe are actually kind of looking forward to. So give this one a try. Eat the frog. Ew, I know, but eat the frog and let me know how it goes. Brain hack number 2 is to set up your environment for success. I want you to imagine this, and I have a feeling this is what a lot of you are doing because it's what I used to do. Imagine working at a cluttered dining room table that has like last night's dinner on it and papers. You have to shove everything to the side to make room to put your laptop there versus sitting at an organized desk with a lot of blank space, with maybe your favorite candle lit nearby, with a hot cup of coffee. Which of those sounds most conducive to being productive? Whenever I started being intentional about my workspace and keeping it clear and clutter-free and incorporating things that smell good or feel good or taste good that like motivate me to want to sit down and be productive. So maybe try creating an environment for yourself that is actually going to set you up to feel excited and motivated. And part of how I do this is I get ready in the mornings. Like, I go ahead and get dressed, even if I'm not going to see anybody. I go ahead and fix my hair and sometimes even put on makeup, even if I'm not going to see anybody, because it just makes such a huge difference in my attitude. Another thing that I do to set up my environment And I talk to my friends about this all the time. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to XYZ coffee shop to work today, or I'm going to the library to work today, or I'm going to this co-working space to work today. Because even though I have a space in my home that is my working space, I just think it benefits me so much, and it helps my brain to just change up where I'm working a little bit, and it makes me so much more productive. So that's brain hack number two, is to set up your environment for success. Brain hack number three is letting my brain work at full capacity. Here's what I mean. If you're a parent, you know what it's like to try and work, especially like thinking work, like blogging or writing for social media or responding to emails, like that hard thinking work. It can be really challenging when your kids are around. And it's not impossible, but it definitely takes a lot longer than if you were able to work with 100% focus without them around, right? That is why still to this day, even though my kids are older, they go hang out with my mom one day of the week and my mother-in-law another day of the week, because I need to have a solid 4 to 6 hour chunk of time where I can focus on my thinking tasks without my kids around as a distraction. And this is less needed these days because they are older and they're pretty self-sufficient. But when they were babies and when they were toddlers, man, I really, really needed that time to focus and let my brain work at full capacity. In those times when my kids are gone and the house is quiet, I know exactly what I'm going to work on before they leave. And I turn on thinking music and I get a lot of stuff done in a small amount of time. Now, I know some of you might be sitting there thinking, good for you, Tavia. I don't have a mom or a mother-in-law who's able to help me out in that way. So even if you don't have the privilege of grandparents nearby, maybe your brain work time is on the weekend for a few hours when your spouse is home. Or maybe you trade babysitting with a friend so that you keep their kids for a few hours and they keep yours for a few hours. There's a lot of ways to get this brain work time in, and it is so valuable, which leads beautifully into brain hack number four, which is time blocking. Now, I'm sure by now you've heard of time blocking. I talk about it a lot to my students. I talk a lot about it on this podcast because it helps me so much. I don't know if it's just the way that my brain works, but I know that when I only have 45 minutes to answer emails for the entire day, I get so focused and I don't let anything else distract me, because it's like, this is the time that I have to do that. I don't know how I ever worked without time blocking. Like, jumping around from task to task takes so much more time than if I were just to block out the time and get it done in a short amount of time. So if and when you have your babysitter from brain hack number three and your kids are gone, time block everything you need to get done and shut down all your distractions. It is amazing what you can accomplish. It's like your brain hyper focuses and prioritizes when it knows you only have 30 minutes or 60 minutes to complete a task. Sidebar, I was scripting this episode and I was using time blocking to script this episode. I knew I only had a specific amount of time to script and outline what I wanted to say in this episode. And so it kind of forced me to say, okay, this isn't that important. I'm going to stop talking about this, or I'm going to add this other thing in, because I kept looking at the clock knowing, okay, I only have this much more time to complete this. And of course, if I got to the end and I thought like, oh, this needs more time, I can always allocate more time. But it's like giving myself that little chunk of time forces me to not get distracted and to prioritize what really matters in this task. Okay, brain hack number five is realizing that as a photographer, marketing in business is what builds your business and books more clients, not better photos. This is such a powerful realization and brain hack when you can tell your brain that trying to improve your photos, trying to get better editing techniques, etc., is not actually going to be the thing that brings in more clients. It's marketing and business. So for me, after I had been in business for a couple of years, I started to realize that making my photos better didn't actually bring in more clients. And I know a lot of photographers get stuck in this limited mindset of like, okay, well, if I edit like this XYZ photographer, or if I find some beautiful secret locations or get better newborn poses, as a result of that, more clients are going to hire me. And that is simply not true. To get more clients to hire you, you need good photos. Yes, I'm not saying that you should put out bad work, but for most of you, your photos are good and they're good enough. And it's time to start really mastering business and marketing. Hear me on this. Better and better and better photos does not equal more clients. So once I told my brain to focus on better messaging and making myself more visible to my ideal clients and creating a better client experience instead of just trying to make my photos better, I started booking clients so much more consistently. So as a photographer, learning business and marketing is what builds your business, not better photos. Okay, brain hack number 6 that helped me go full-time as a photographer is constantly reminding my brain in more than one way that how my clients choose to spend their money is none of my business. How my clients choose to spend their money is none of my business. So the pricing thing can be a lot for photographers. And I know that so many of us struggle with feeling like we're worth our prices or wondering if we're charging too much or if that's the reason clients aren't hiring us. So there are two ways that I overcame this fear of being, quote, too expensive or doubting that I was worth my prices. Two ways that I overcame this. The first way was when people started paying me. I remember the first time I got a sale over $500, $1,000, $2,000, $6,000. And each time it was just further affirmation that if one person thinks that my work is worth that price, then there will be others. So for you, friend, if there is one person who has paid you $1,000 for photos, there are more people like that out there. The second way that I overcame pricing doubts was to become more than confident that my clients are getting an insane value for the prices that I charge. When I almost feel like they're ripping me off because they're getting such a great value, it's so much easier to confidently state my prices and be A-okay with clients who think that I'm too expensive because I know that I'm not. I'm going to say that part again in case you drifted. Come back to me for this because this is really, really important. It's so much easier to confidently state your prices and be okay with clients who think that you're too expensive when you've overcome these pricing doubts because you know that you're not too expensive. You know that the value is there and you know that people are willing to pay it and have paid it. Because here's the truth. If you don't believe in what you charge, your clients won't either. If you don't believe you're worth your prices, your clients won't believe it either. It starts with you and it starts with your belief in what you're charging. So episode 165 that I just released last week is all about specific ways to boost your photography business's value. So I definitely suggest listening to that episode after this one if it's a struggle that you have. Okay, brain hack number 7 that I used to go full-time with photography is implementing the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule says that you should focus on 20% of the activities that bring in 80% of the results. Focus on 20% of the activities that bring in 80% of the results. So how can you do this? Well, you can look at this with your images, for example. Like, which images do most people love? And how can you focus on those smaller number of images to bring in 80% of the results? It's really true. This goes for niching as well. When you focus on the small percentage of people who like this particular type of the type of photos, do more of that to see 80% of the results. How could you do this with your marketing? Like, what's something that you do that brings in a majority of your clients? And how can you do more of that thing, focusing on the 20% of activities that bring in 80% of the results? You can do this with your finances. What do you spend money on that brings in clients and has a high ROI, return on investment? And how can you do more of that? So brain hack number 7 is focusing on the 20% of activities that bring in 80% of the results. Brain hack number 8 that I use to go full-time with photography, hang with me on this one. This is a major, major brain hack. And that is daily practicing gratitude. You've heard it before. You might have seen this coming, but if you're not every single day taking note for what you're grateful for, you're missing a huge opportunity to quite literally hack your brain. I have this quote from Oprah written in my closet, and I read it every day. And it says, "Be thankful for what you have, and you'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough." I know if you're listening to this show, you're probably a lot like me and you're a goal-oriented person. Like you have goals and you work towards them. And it's so easy to always want to strive for more and more and more. But man, I've already accomplished a lot of things that were previously a goal of mine or something that maybe once felt unattainable. And I'm willing to bet that you have too. So each morning, and this is something that we talk about in Marketing School for Photographers, I write down 10 things that I am grateful for. And I can tell you that it is such a powerful brain hack to live a more content and productive life. Because what ends up happening is I've trained myself to look back at the previous day and write down things that I'm grateful for. So I know today that tomorrow I'm going to be writing down things I'm grateful for. So I'm thinking today, kind of subconsciously, about the things that are happening that I'm grateful for. So it's like conditioning me to live in this state of gratitude every single day. So if you're not already using this brain hack, I'm going to encourage you to actually start here and writing down even just one thing every day that you are grateful for in the day before. And if you're already doing it, I'm going to encourage you to get more specific. So instead of being grateful for things like your house or your car, what if you could look at specific things that happened the day before that you're grateful for? Like my son held the door open for me. And then as it's happening, you get to be grateful for it in that moment because you've trained your brain to look for those moments of gratitude. It's so powerful. Okay, brain hack number 9 that I used to go full-time with photography was to really pay attention to what I'm putting in my brain and listen to things that I want to see in my life. And good news, you're already doing this one because you're listening to this podcast. So I follow this business leader on Instagram. Her name is Cody Sanchez. I love the way that she thinks. And she talked about how we're also aware of the food that goes into our body, right? Like, especially in America with all of the junk that's in our food, a lot of us are thinking like, okay, does this have red dye in it? Or does it have preservatives? Or does it have chemicals? Or how is this going to affect my health? And it's really common here to think about that and to talk about that. But I love her point, and I've heard her talk about this many times. And she says, in 10 to 20 years, people are likely going to look back at this time, at 2024, and realize that the information that we put in our brains was equally or more important than the food we're putting in our bodies. Because we can improve our lives or make them worse simply by the media that we consume. That's books, movies, TV, TikTok, reels, podcasts, all of that. So this brain hack is all about being intentional with what you consume and what you put into your brain. Are you consuming the type of content that's going to help you move closer or further from your goals? I'm going to put some inspiring episodes in the show description for you, past episodes of the show that I think are going to be beneficial for you to add to your list so that you have something positive and motivating to feed your brain. So as we wrap up today's episode, I want you to remember this. The shift from hobbyist photographer to full-time photographer is not just about what you do, it's about what you think. Each brain hack that we talked about today is not just a task to add to your to-do list. It's really a transformation in mindset that creates that way for growth. So I hope that you'll take a minute and think back on which of these hacks resonated the most with you. Which did you hear and think like, ooh, yeah, I really think that I would benefit from that. Start there and make that change and watch how it begins to reshape your business. And my friend, remember, if you have a passion, it is not an accident because not everyone loves the thing that you love, even though I know it might feel like it sometime. Whatever your passion is, it's there for a reason. So I hope that you will get out there, follow your passion, and make it happen. Have a great week.